10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
For those who originally said all good things do come to an end, they also go to brand new beginnings as well. Nope, it's not Memorex. And yes, it is the 16th day of January, 2022. And oh my God, I got the year right the first time around. We don't have to fix it in post-production. Want to say greetings, good evening, how the hell are you? And welcome to Beyond Ringside Live, Sunday night edition. Originally slated to be LIVE live at this point in time, unfortunately due to extenuating circumstances, venue, and all of the above, temperature dropping faster than a rock off an overpass, alterations had to be made. Thank you to everybody catching us through the Beyond Ringside channel on the TuneIn mobile app, TuneIn Radio. Greatly appreciated for everything that they've done, as well as through the different replay sources, including iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher, more ways to listen than I would normally say active brain cells, but after this week, that count is in question. From an undisclosed location, I will steal one from an old friend of mine, nicknamed the Inhuman Fly. I am broadcasting live today from parts unmentionable. Kind of like that one. I'll explain that one in days to come. I am the Magic City Motor Mouth, Fast Eddie Lane, still on the mend, but just taking it all one day at a time, kind of like rehab without the serious part. Welcoming in tag team partner from the Peach State, Shane Knowles. Welcome back.
Hot tag.
They actually had a food truck called that here over here in Birmingham. And from what I heard, it actually had pretty good food.
It wasn't bad. I tried the street tacos.
That's always a safe bet, though. It's kind of like, okay, street tacos, it's kind of hard to mess up. Fish tacos, you can mess those up at the drop of a hat. And I've seen it done. And welcoming in an old friend, longtime friend of Beyond Ringside Sports Radio, however, first time in a long time on air. Greg T., glad to have you on board, my friend.
I appreciate it, and I'm here in the Peach State as well, home of the national champions Georgia Bulldogs, home of the 2021 World Series Atlanta Braves. I mean, basically, I'm just in the state of champions right now.
I knew you'd get the Georgia Bulldogs thing in there. I just didn't think you'd jump in right off the bat with it.
I like Greg already.
And that's the Auburn fan saying that, kids. Although I am now pledging allegiance to the Birmingham Stallions from the soon-to-debut USFL, which is making me feel like I'm 7 years old again. I'm glad to see the USFL coming back on board. I was kind of wondering what was going to happen with all the other stuff, because I know Dwayne was buying the XFL and all that IP. But you know something? Football in and of itself is a good thing. Unless, of course, you're the Philadelphia Eagles right now.
Oh, I felt you just put me on a silver platter, Eddie. You spoke about safe bets earlier with tacos. Another safe bet, you can always count on the Dallas Cowboys to let you down, and today they did in mighty fashion, dropping 23-17 in the wild card round at home to the San Francisco 49ers, who will advance the divisional round of the NFC playoffs.
Yeah, the only problem with that scenario is I didn't have Dallas winning that game in any way, shape, or form, so it didn't let me down.
Well, I got to make two things a mention here before we move on. The Dallas Cowboys trailed 16-7 at halftime. 23-7 in the beginning of the fourth quarter. They convert a successful fake punt, which sends the crowd into euphoria at Jerry's World. The only problem is they leave the special teams unit on the field, apparently thinking they're going to make San Francisco call a timeout. They don't. They're in defense waiting on you. The offense gets on the field. Finally, delay of game penalty for 5 yards. They don't score. That in and of itself is Mike McCarthy in a nutshell. Then towards the end of the game, 23-17, they are trying to drive. They have no timeouts left. Dak Prescott takes a run up the middle for about 8 yards. They can't get the ball set in time for the official to set it. Ball game. I mean, clock management all year for the Dallas Cowboys, and boy, it showed up big today.
One of the things that I would like to do is, for those who are just now catching on board or coming back on board, either way, Greg being the new kid on the block, I would like to give him a chance to lay out a little bit of his resume, because he is A, strong in the field of professional wrestling as an in-ring competitor, as well as behind the microphone as well. So, sir, the floor is yours. Give you a chance to introduce yourself to everybody.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. So I go by Greg T now, but formerly known and sometimes currently still known as the Hardcore Heartbreaker Sweet Daddy. We'll jump into that name origin one day. We should do that. But because it's not where you think it came from. But yes, I've wrestled off and on for many years. I used to do it hot and heavy in the late 90s into the 2000s and all of that. Coming over there to GCW Global Championship Wrestling with Dan Sawyer's group. And that's kind of like where we kicked off our relationship. Wrestled, in Alabama and in Georgia, Carolinas, a little bit in Florida, things like that. Live the dream, man. Live the dream. Have fun. Been a lifelong pro wrestling fan. To this day, I love pro wrestling. I try to go to WrestleMania every year. Try to, catch some independent shows. And still wrestle here and there. Even about a month and a half ago, I was in the ring. So,
really?
You can never get out. You just can't get out. Once it's in your blood, you can't get out.
And actually, I do have to put one little thing and flip it around, because the first real interaction that you and I had was when the International Wrestling Union, Don Moose Lewis's company, came to Birmingham to Boutwell Municipal Auditorium, and a number of the cast, yourself included, dropped by the old J.T. Roberts Broadcasting Facility when it was Planet Rock 92.5, when Beyond Ringside was in year two with myself, Big Daddy Guff Grayson, who went on to be the Machine Guff Grayson, as well as Zen Master DMC Doug McGarry, who went on to be Disgruntled as a name, not as an attitude, in the world of pro wrestling with Global, as well as Late Night Lloyd Riley. Because I remember the whole I think I still have that up on social media, the picture of you and everybody else dropping by the studio that morning, the day of the event at Boutwell. And absolute blast. I wish I could find that audio. I know it, believe it or not, it's on a mini disc somewhere. But when you've got over 1,300 mini discs full of shows, it's kind of hard to remember where everything is.
And just the fact you said mini disc tells you something. That's all.
Oh yeah, dude. When mini disc first broke, and when it first became available, I was on board with that faster than you could blink, because the versatility of the format. And as I'm headstrong into it, both on the broadcasting side and as a DJ and radio air talent, MP3 compression had not really become widely spread or widely used. If you're recording on computer, it was still the WAV format, which... yeah, try keeping a one-hour show in WAV. Talk about buying a hard drive per week. That's what you'd have to do. And believe it or not, don't laugh too hard. Gentlemen, I still have, and I'm looking at it right now, in not necessarily the museum, but in a state of stasis, the first iOmega 1 terabyte hard drive, external hard drive that I ever bought. That one is actually still sitting on my desk. It still works. But yeah, and after that, I believe I also, let's see, you did a lot of stuff with Global over here. I came over there to Georgia to do some work with around the top of the millennium, if I remember correctly, to work with IWU. Oh, I keep wanting to say the young gentleman who was also doing commentary was Brad something. Brad Mustang?
That sounds familiar.
Wasn't Aaron Camara, but I think it was Brad something.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't remember his last name, though. And then, did you not come over and do the EWA as well with Marty?
I think once.
Mm-hmm. So here's what's crazy about that. You did that show. I think some of you guys came over and did that show early on. Extreme Wrestling Alliance, all that kind of stuff. ECW type of wrestling, right?
Yeah.
Fast forward to November of 2021. Show run by that same promoter, Christian based, 100%, and I was on that show.
In the words of Bon Jovi and Jennifer Nettles, who says you can't go home?
How crazy is that? Totally different world right there.
Oh, yeah. Now, if I may, Shane, I'm going to turn the floor over to you, sir, for those who have not had a chance to catch up with Shane Knowles. Tell everybody a little bit more about yourself.
Well, as you can tell, I'm a lifelong fan of the Dallas Cowboys from the early onset. Now, I've been involved in professional wrestling 14 years now, last 13 and a half as the owner promoter, Peach State Wrestling Alliance, a West Georgia based promotion. Also for the last 2 years, I've had the pleasure of serving as a commentator for Pro South Wrestling every Friday evening. I'll give them a shout out. You can check out their events live every Friday evening, 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central on YouTube. The production has improved tremendous leaps and bounds to the point where, and I may get in trouble for this, Southern Honor, it's ruffled their feathers a little bit at how much praise Pro South is getting. So, but hey, it's an even playing field, and let's have fun. But, yeah, I've been a lifelong pro wrestling fan myself. Certainly the last 12 months has tested some of that, I will say. But it still remains near and dear to my heart, and there's nothing like working like last night, I had the opportunity and privilege to wrestle for New Era over in Jasper, Alabama, near Eddie Lane's neck of the woods. And Greg's right. I mean, that's the first time I'd wrestled in 7 months. But once it gets in your blood, you know, it stays there. And I'm always gracious for the opportunity when someone comes calling.
And on a short version of the story for yours truly, originally started training in the world of pro wrestling in 1984, had first match late 85, early 86, and I give that little jump because my first match was actually so terrible I don't want to remember it. coming back in 86 was a much different animal. However, I've worked over the years with a number of different promotions. You've heard my voice through a number of different promotions on a localized level, a regional, and of course, on a national and international, thanks to pay-per-view basis. I've had a very blessed run. I've worn every hat there is to wear, including working merch table, concession stand, set up, tear down, haul the ring, rented the ring, didn't own it. But like I said, for me personally, I've had a very blessed career, and I call it that. I've kind of taken a little bit of time away. I know I've done a lot of work with Peach State Wrestling Alliance over the last few years, for which, if I have not said it recently, thank you, Shane. From there, it's been a case of, thanks to different restrictions that have been put on buildings and venues, and I've been asked on numerous occasions why I don't try to work with promotions here in the state of Alabama more often than I have over the, since Global Championship Wrestling went on a extended hiatus. And the reason for that is actually very simple. Timing. I have not actively pursued with a company in Alabama. I have friends who run companies here in the state. It's just because of the fact that, and this is where another part of reality gets in the way, I own and operate Full Range Entertainment mobile DJ service. I do wedding receptions, birthday parties, school dances, all of that, which has been coming back, especially over the last year and a half. Things started to relax a little bit with COVID, and it's been the second half of 2021 was nonstop for me in that realm of birthdays and weddings, and I've been very blessed in that regard. That's why, to be honest with you, I've dedicated the majority of my time to growing that business. Now, I also take bookings through longtime friend and colleague Rob Langford's company, Elvis Rob Productions. Major shout out in his direction. He has been tremendous to work with. And Rob is also a very gifted and talented Elvis tribute artist. I've had a chance to work with him on a number of those shows over the last few years. And always a great time. But yeah, I mean, if the right circumstance were to come up here in my home state, I would listen. And if scheduling were to work out, yeah, never say never in this business. A lot of people think, well, you know, Global Union and Eddie just decided he's screwed Alabama. No, he hasn't said screw Alabama. It's just the timing just hadn't been right. And I'm one who likes to be able to make a commitment to things. And there have been times where I've had to call Shane. Fortunately, I've been able to give him notice. It's like, I had a wedding that just everything's been falling into place on. I'm not going to be able to make it. But that normally, you can attest to the fact, normally it's with a couple of weeks leeway time. I give you a chance to, it's like, okay, cuss me for 5 minutes, and then, okay, we'll figure something out. But, and that has, I mean, the word commitment in the realm of professional wrestling and sports entertainment is something that I believe gets overlooked in the modern day. And by the way, I've been meaning to do this for the record. Yes, the Twitter handle is still the same, at Beyond Ringside, Facebook.com/Beyond Ringside, Facebook.com/Beyond Ringside Live. The Facebook.com/Beyond Ringside is going to show up as Eddie Lane. Thank you, Facebook, for just making me change the name on the damn account. And it's almost like I'm ready to just take a can opener to Pandora's box as opposed to just popping the latch and flipping it. I'm lit up. But that's something that I've, whether it's in the fan bases. And no, I'm not going to go out of the starting blocks and start knocking fans. If anything, I'm going to knock social media. Good reason for that. But the three of us get a chance to see some of the goings-on, whether it be on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, I'm sure TikTok, and some of the other social media outlets that are out there. Greg, I'm going to start with you on this one. Based on what you've been able to see, do you feel like the commitment is there from a lot of the talents that are coming down the pike, some of the younger talents that are coming down the pike, as opposed to when you first got started in this business, as far as it pertains to commitment and... I'm not going to use the word dedication, devotion, or anything of that ilk, because I know, as we're all independent contractors, of course we go where the money is. But do you think that a lot of the people who are entering talent are willing to make that long-form investment of their time in promotions?
No. And I think part of it comes from, we can really dig into this. I think it even goes all the way back to ECW. But looking at the independents are so different today than even AEW or Impact or WWE. So I don't think they understand the business. And so they don't make the commitment to the long-term character. They don't make the commitment to their fitness. They don't make the commitment. Of course, this is in general. They don't make the commitment to the fans. They want to pop the boys. And they want to pop. They want the "This is awesome" chant. And all they want is the admiration of their peers when they come to the back. And I don't see the commitment to the character, especially. I think that's probably the biggest thing I see. And I think, because wrestling is a unique entertainment venue. It's very different, right? It's not, you know, I never had credits roll that said Sweet Daddy played by Greg. It was, I was a character, and I was committed to that character from the moment I got to the building to the moment I left the building. And you don't see that anymore. And today, in all honesty, people say it's more difficult, but I would argue it's actually easier. Because if you play your Twitter right and your social media correctly, you can get that heat. You can get that fan invested. And today, I don't see the commitment to that, to building their audience.
Shane, same question.
A lot of the younger talent, in my opinion, and wants the gratification immediately. 2 months in the business, 3 months in the business. They want a main event program. They want a title. And there's nothing wrong with having aspirations, but learning to crawl before you walk. I can't help but think of someone that Eddie and I know quite well. I don't know if Greg's ever worked with him or met him. I'm sure he probably has, but Mike Jackson. And Mike was making this statement to some guys last night. He's like, you know, I didn't win a match the first 4 years I was in the business. And he joked about, you know, being with the NWA on TV, didn't win many then either. But he said, especially first 4 years, you bring your boots, you bring your singlet, your tights, your trunks, whatever you may be donning in, you know, in the ring. But yes, sir, no, sir, you show up on time, you do your job, because there was a, you had to earn that spot. It wasn't just handed to you. And I see that now, especially because you're bringing up the advent of social media. Guys who complain about their push or their lack of a title baffle me. A, that other workers can see this. B, that promoters can see this. And C, that fans can see this. And I like wine with a little cheese. I don't like wine from talent, especially being put out in the public, you know, persona like that. But, you know, I think a thing, too, this is something I've harped on. I think, and this is what Greg was talking about as far as character, I think a lot of it has to do with your trainer, training, wrestling school, whatever you're doing. These guys learn how to wrestle. They don't learn how to be a professional. And I say that from over a decade of dealing with guys. Like, I can count on you to go out there and do some nice chain wrestling, maybe some nice high spots, some good falls. You can put together a match, but do you know how to conduct yourself as a professional when you show up at the venue? Do you shake hands? Do you greet everyone? Do you ask if there's anything I can offer to do before we get this shindig started? Do you stay up stay afterwards and make sure you tell everyone goodbye and safe travels? Do you offer to help with anything post-show? Do you know how to interact with the fans and not be a pompous ass? I see a lot of that. And I think a lot of it goes to their training. I wish there was more, and I don't want to say etiquette or manners, but I wish there was more conduct about, hey, man, there's thousands of people that can wrestle. A lot of guys can take back body drops and administer a backbreaker. But what separates you? Why should I want you on my card? What do you bring to the table that someone else is not offering that would make me take a liking to you? And I think that's a problem for me.
So let me jump in on that real quick. So Shane, something you brought up, a perfect thing. We talked about Mike Jackson. I didn't win a match for my first 3 years, 4 years, something like that. But I was taught, and you made great points, and I just kind of want to reiterate, the training that I went through was shut up, watch your matches, here's how you carry yourself. I was trained how to carry myself. I was trained to shake those hands. I was trained to talk to everybody when I left. I was trained to thank the guy who I worked with. Every single thing. And I was trained, you better watch every freaking match. And if I wasn't, my trainer was there and I heard about it. But I did watch every match. I really didn't have to hear about it. But I was also such a fan of the business and I wanted to learn it. And I think you're right. I mean, it's what separates you away. And today, it's very difficult, even watching some of the big promotions, it's very difficult to watch what separates somebody from somebody else.
You know, that defining line that a lot of people don't take into consideration is very prevalent as far as humility and, okay, let me clarify, because you can have people who have a true sense of humility in this industry, and you have others that know how to play that card to make you think they're humble. And 5 minutes away from the show, they're on their social media acting an ass. And this is one that's been one of my writing points for a long time. And that is the factor of how, you know, people blame Vince McMahon and some of the other people who did Secrets of the Business for the killing of kayfabe. Modern social media is not doing it any favors. The fact of the matter, and I'm going to pull one out of the hat, figuratively and physically. As it pertains to pro wrestling, I agree with the concept that this is a magic act in progress. And you have to protect the way that you're executing the illusion or the trick. Because there are so many out there that don't care how they come across on social, exposing things that shouldn't be exposed. I'm not looking at it from an altruistic sense. I'm looking at it from a future business perspective. If you can put together on social media a perspective that you are helping to continue to build not only the industry as the whole, but your individual character, then you're doing it right. If all you're doing is getting on social media and trying to get the cheap pop and 100,000 likes, then you're honestly doing it for the wrong damn reason. Same thing in the ring itself. I agree wholeheartedly. The shift has been over the last decade or so to work for the pop. I would rather you can find a common ground in that particular regard to where you can actually get that pop you're working for and still have everything make sense. Ooh, am I going to wait 30 minutes in and break out the word psychology for the first time back? Or should I do it after the break? Nah, let's do it now. Advance notice for future episodes. We are going to put things in play to where we do take those cute little breaks at the 25 mark. Matter of fact, let's go ahead and do that. Folks, hang tight. We're going to take a quick one. Normally, on the live side, I'd say we'd be back in 4. And on the pre-recorded side, or tape side, or podcast side, we'd be back in 1 click. So bear with us. This is Beyond Ringside Live.
This is Jacoby Boykins, a.k.a. the Alabama Ambassador, Mr. 256, and you are locked in to Beyond Ringside.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Temptation, Sean Tempers, and right now, you are locked in with Beyond Ringside.
Hey, this is Marcus Buff Bagwell, and guess what? I'm Buff, I'm the stuff, and the girls can't get enough, and you are locked in to Beyond Ringside. Check it out.
On a beautiful Sunday night, welcome back into Beyond Ringside Live. Fast Study Lane over here. Shane Knowles, welcome back.
Hey, hey, hey.
Greg T, what's up?
Oh, man, I'm chilling. Ready to get into some more topics, man.
Still, that I hear that word and first thing pops in my head. It's chilling like a villain. It's like, what commercial was that from? Oh, good grief. At Beyond Ringside on Twitter, facebook.com/Beyond Ringside. Folks, real quick, I want to go ahead and break this one out. BeyondRingside@gmail.com. Offer especially valid to catch up on email, especially if you are hosting a pro or a part of a live pro wrestling event that is going to be transpiring in the next week or two. We'd love to help you get the word out about it. No strings attached. As, of course, things are back in full play on this Sunday night edition. You know, I was talking about the word psychology a minute ago, and we're going to hold because the word psychology does, in the world of pro wrestling, have so many different connotations to it, and I'm going to bring up one of them that we kind of talked about off air, and that's the way that things are perceived as it goes with title reigns. Title reigns. Roman Reigns? Title reign? As, of course, they have made the big production number, not only on SmackDown, but on their social media, about how he's now got a record-breaking run as champion. I'm going to start this ball in particular. I was having a great conversation earlier today with an old friend on social media, Evan Ginsberg. If you remember the movie The Wrestler, Evan was the associate producer for that movie, Beyond Ringside. He's been on here a couple of times, and I've had the privilege of being on his show. Evan was making a reference to the fact that he was in a discussion with someone as it pertains to time. And Evan is very much a traditionalist, kind of like I think the three of us are, but we're all able to see modern day vision as well as a traditional perspective. And part of the discussion that Evan was in was how a person felt that Roman's current reign as champion, universal champion, means more than that of Bruno Sammartino. You really don't want to get me started on this. Part of the fun that I had as it pertains to that subject was the factor of exposure. When Bruno was in his first title run, let's put the world in proper perspective. The world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment didn't even exist as a term. But the way that it was, you had three broadcast networks, technically. PBS really wasn't a network. You had ABC, CBS, NBC. The struggle was real. Because remember, Fox didn't emerge as a network till much later. I would say during the backside of the Backlund run. And to get mainstream television exposure in pro wrestling, because of the way the product was looked at by so many people, sure, you could pack out Madison Square Garden, you could pack out Nassau Coliseum, and please remember, Bruno Sammartino packed Shea Stadium before stadium shows were a thing. Without the internet, without social media, without cable, without DirecTV or Dish or satellite of any kind, technically. So, to put the perspective in play, as it stands, the timelines add to the overall play, but as far as it goes with Roman, this is the other one that I've had a lot of fun with over the last year or so. Cena and 16 do not, to me, have the same relevance as Flair with 16. One company versus multiple companies. It adds a whole different perspective on it. Now, as it shows, I think, 505 days now? Gentlemen, I'll ask your perspective on the current Roman Reigns title run and the way that things have broken down or actually built up for Roman throughout the course of this run. Shane, I'll ask you to go first. Your thoughts on it.
Roman Reigns has now been a heel since the conclusion of the SummerSlam event in 2019, if memory serves, correct?
Give or take.
So we are at about 2.5 years into this, with the association with Paul Heyman. I, like many people, thought this was about 3 to 5 years late. I'm not going to say too late. Late. Because you made the comparison to Cena. Much like a flag bearer that the WWE wanted to be its next Hogan or Austin, a large portion of your audience wasn't buying it. I understand why you did not turn John Cena throughout the duration, but people were beyond frustrated why you weren't, because I thought the level of hatred and scorn of Roman Reigns' push as a babyface far outweighed any negative that John Cena was getting. And, you know, the decision was made. He's now associated with Paul Heyman. It's fresh. Roman has flourished. I don't think anybody would argue that fact, that he's come more into his own. He's proven that he can main event big cards, and he can put on the the performances that are worthy of headlining said shows. The 504, as far as in regards to Bruno, no, and maybe that's just me being an old full of piss and vinegar, but I don't even put Roman Reigns as title reign in the top six in WWF history, let alone up there with Bruno. If you want to argue that that's in the number one spot, whether it be with Hogan or Backlund or Billy Graham, whoever you want to go for in that time. But I'm not taking away. My thing with the WWE has been this. The match with Brock Lesnar, or the program, I should say, with Brock Lesnar, whenever they finally get to the conclusion
event, a blow off. If they don't change the belt back to Lesnar, and I'm not advocating for that, and I like Brock Lesnar, I always think it's better when he's around. But if that isn't the change, I think you've booked yourself into a very difficult corner here, because during this reign, Roman has pretty much went through anybody else on the roster of substance, even guys that were given one-off spots to try and take that belt from him. And I think that's sometimes dangerous. This isn't the territory days where Roman Reigns could keep this belt 5, 6, 7 years and always have fresh people coming down the pike. I mean, I look at, you know, 89, when Flair finished the trilogy with Steamboat, there's middle-aged crazy Terry Funk coming in off an announcer to do the program to get us going through the rest of 89. You don't have that anymore. So I think I like what Roman's done. I'm sorry, maybe I do sound like a new age fan, but, you know, this reign, I am a little bit burnt out on it. I'd like to see a little shakeup at the top. It doesn't have to be Lesnar, but if it's not, I don't know if you share those same sentiments, guys, and I'll leave that floor open to you. If it's not Lesnar that takes the belt from Reigns, who you got pegged to do so?
Greg, come on in.
All right, so I'll start just with the reign as a whole. First off, I love the heel turn of Reigns. I was a fan of his as a face. I think he was put in a horrible position that they put him to the top of the card as soon as they broke up the Shield. If you think about it, they broke the Shield, threw him straight into the main events, and took the other two and let them go do their thing. I think they should have slow-built Roman, and you would have had a different reaction. But fast forward. The one thing about this entire title, or not just the title reign, well, I guess it is the whole title reign, his whole heel run, he's so invested in it. And you can tell it. You can tell he's so much more comfortable. You just tell it's him. And I think that's what makes it so good. The other part about this, the longevity of the reign, is that it does mean whoever does beat him, it elevates them. It elevates them arguably. Now, I'm not going to say it's the exact same, but arguably beating The Undertaker somewhere, whether at a big pay-per-view or maybe not the WrestleMania street beating type, but it's going to elevate somebody, because this is somebody who's been dominant for 2 years, going on 3 years. And so that's why I would argue you don't make it Brock, because Brock doesn't need that. Big E needs that, or whoever else needs that. They then move up the card. The other piece, going back to what you said about Bruno. So back in those days, you think about especially WWF or WWF at that time had a lot of long title reigns, and they're, you know, very regional and all of that. I think one, the champions had to fill weekly territories. They had to fill different things that they don't have to do today. So I don't even know if you can truly compare them, but here's the one constant. He's on Fox. Previously, you're on USA Network, you're on Sci-Fi, you're on WB, you've been on all those other things, right? Now you're on Fox, and Fox is putting a ton of money into this promotion. The last thing Fox wants to do is confuse their mainstream audience on who the champion is. So there for a while when WWE went through all this, you know, flipping titles, it was every month. He talked about Cena 16 times. Yeah, but some of those were like, what, 24 hours? Something like that.
Almost a Kane run, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, you had a few that were really, really, really short. You're risking confusing a mainstream audience because you're on Fox. And because the Fox grouping is going to be more of those casual fans, even more casual than what you have on Mondays on Raw. So there's that, you know, corporate mentality. There's that piece. There's the fact he's been able to carry the ball, and that whenever he does lose, it's going to make somebody. I think it's the most dominant run we've seen in years. People, whether they love him or hate him, they all know, wow. Can somebody beat him? Who's going to beat him? And this Brock Lesnar thing, the thing I love about this storyline, it's taken a long time. It's a slow build. Even right now, anybody you talk to is like, I don't know what's going to happen. And when's the last time we truly had a storyline in any company where you sat back and go, I I really don't know. Like, I just don't know. Like, is Paul going to turn? Is it going to be Brock win it? Is Brock, are they going to do a double turn? I mean, it's all kinds of things in it. And I think this storyline, this whole thing has been the genius of what WWE does best when they're focused.
When they're focused, allow me to jump on that one, because before AEW kicked into gear, WWE had kind of lost their way. And there are so many different things that I could just take WWE to task for right now. Top of the batting order is the interior destruction of Black and Gold. I've been very silent about that for the most part. However, you know, you had the showdown, the little face-off between Brock Lesnar and Roman, where Brock laid out the title versus title at Mania. I like it. I would rather see champion versus champion instead of title versus title. Because the overall perspective for me, the brand split is still functional. Is it perfect? No. It never will be. Not unless you totally abdicate the fact that they're only going to cross over once per year. And they can't make up their mind about when that's going to be. Case point scenario. We talked about the little bit of a swerve, so to speak. When Adam Pearce went to Roman Reigns last weekend on SmackDown and made the comment, I've made up my mind about who your next challenger is going to be. And Roman blew him off. A little bit later, here comes Rollins. So you've got Reigns and Rollins at the Royal Rumble for the Universal Championship. Sore spot for me, you've got Lesnar and Lashley for the World Championship over on Raw at the Rumble. This, to me, should have been a WrestleMania match. You have two huge stars. I said this when they announced the fact that Mania was going to be two nights. Lesnar, Lashley, Rock, Reigns needed to happen night one, night two, respectively. I think that would have guaranteed you would have had a preponderance of a sellout. With all of the talent releases that have been going on, especially NXT, not to mention the main roster, but primarily NXT, you've depleted your future superstar. I mean, it's like, okay, you got all your eggs in the basket on Bron Breakker. Big deal. Are you going to leave him and continue to build him at NXT? Or are you going to rush him onto the main roster product that Vince is known for doing before you can genuinely build him as a superstar? As it goes with Reigns, you're right. That first time around, this is my yard now. Horrible run. This one has been miles better. Light years better. Heyman did the one thing that he does best. Build stars. His physical presence on a microphone and standing side by side with Reigns helped to elevate Reigns. And in that case, I'm going to use the term help to elevate the championship. AEW, Bryan Danielson, Adam Page, first match. Taz laid out a comment that resonated with me, and I'm sitting back going, damn, there goes that curtain. He said, this match elevates the championship. That's what it should be. That's always what it should be. My long-standing position, the belt should not define the champion. The champion should define the championship and continue to elevate it. What if he's taking it as far as it can go? How far can a championship go? If you can put a quantitative limit on that, you're not thinking. There should be no limit to the prominence, prestige, or positioning of your primary championship. The sky's the limit. I began to worry just a little bit about the overall scenario when Reigns fired Heyman. It's like, okay, I can see this, but, and here's a problem that I've got. A true chicken bleep heel. Fill that word however you want to, kids. Hashtag hell damn ass. A true chicken bleep heel can show a weakness in the armor without looking weak. This last exchange between Reigns and Rollins on SmackDown did Reigns no favors in my book. It actually made him look weaker than he should. That's plain and simple. And Rollins is not even your strongest character that can challenge for the title right now. I think it's a good placeholder. I think it gets us past the Rumble and on the road to WrestleMania. I don't even think the MGM sportsbook would touch this match. If nothing, they'd have Rollins at like probably plus 350 on the money line. Which, in other words, I don't see that title changing hands. Kind of like Lesnar-Lashley. That would be a little bit more of a tight bet run. Like a plus 125, minus 125 on the money line. Not that I ever pay attention to sports books as it pertains to pro wrestling. Yes, I do. Now, overall, Reigns' title run has been excellent. It's been exceptional. And at times has been excellent. Did they rely too much on Heyman? No. Was it a good mix between him, Heyman, Reigns, Heyman, and the Usos? Yes. I think there were a couple of times they went a little bit overboard because the outside interference by the Usos was too predictable. And everybody who's listened to this show for an extended period of time, you know how I feel about predictable interference. It sucks. Horribly bad. Now, but like I said, would I consider ending that with Rollins at Rumble? No, not the least. Would I have a culmination of two titles becoming one at Mania? No, not the least. Sorry. Both, they should keep the individual brands. Just like with the women's title. Tag titles, keep them the same too. Women's tag, non-existent anymore. They've managed to totally decimate that title. Now, I'm going to go and throw this one out. Slight shift. Unless, gentlemen, was there anything that I said that y'all want to follow up on or vice versa?
I'm jumping on one thing you said.
Go ahead.
So think about the Reigns and the Usos interfering. You're right. It became predictable. But when was the last time that we truly had a faction that mattered? And what I mean by that is they actually supported each other. They actually interfered. They actually cheated to win. We have factions who don't ever look out for each other. In AEW is just faction city, so it's just almost ridiculous. And if you walk in, it's like, oh, you get a faction. It's like watching Oprah. You get a faction. God. You get a faction. You get a faction. Because it has so many people under contract. But when I watched it, and I am a Reigns fan. I've been a Reigns fan through his face run. I mean, I was critical, but I still was a fan because I saw what he was in NXT as well, right? But I watched it, and what it reminded me of is when I watched Flair back in the day, I knew the Horsemen were interfering. You just didn't know how. And I think where they failed is nobody put a faction together to go against the Bloodline. They never truly put something. You kind of had the New Day thing, but then they said, oh, let's make Big E champion, do that. But you never put somebody together. Like, if you go back in the day, Dusty put together the Superpowers with the Road Warriors. He had backup. He had Sting. He had, Luger when he was out or whatever. Nobody did that. And I think that's what I was looking for. Like, no, nobody wants to rise up and come after them. Even go jump to the NWO. They were always interfering. They were doing these things. And then you had the WCW group finally come up and start, with DDP and Sting and all that. Nobody did that. So I didn't have an issue with the interference because I think that's what heels should do. And I think we've lost a lot of that. We have too many heels winning off of the music plays and they get a distraction. But we actually had people interfering, and I like that from a storyline perspective because it showed me that they had each other's backs.
Shane, got a follow up?
No, sir.
Well, I mean, if they really wanted to, they could probably find a way to reform the Dudes with Attitudes over in WWE. Vince may still own the rights to the names.
I'd be glad to do it.
Hey, pal, dudes with dudes with attitudes. No. Which match at Mania are you looking more forward to? Reigns and Rollins for the Universal title? Lesnar-Lashley for the Raw World Championship? Greg?
Looking more forward to? Sadly, you said Mania, but you mean Rumble.
Yeah, Rumble, I'm sorry.
The reason I'm resetting that is because it's a Rumble match, because they're both so quick, honestly, like, I want to see Lashley and Lesnar, but I have no confidence that I have any question on who's going to win. So I think that's what bothers me about that match. It should have been a Mania match. It should have been something where we have a build to. I don't have a question that Seth is going to win. I don't think he's going to win. So I have to look at straight in ring. I'm curious to see how Lesnar and Lashley work together. So that, I guess I'm more looking forward to that just from an in ring perspective.
Shane.
But yeah.
Same. Lesnar, Lashley. I mean, it's a first time singles matchup to my knowledge. And I have no doubt Reigns and Rollins will be good. But I've seen it in some variation a good number of times.
I'm still trying to figure out who's supposed to be the heel and who's supposed to be the face in the Reigns Rollins matchup, because it's so unlike Vince and creative to put together a pure heel matchup. Just like Vince detests the idea, based on what has been said in previous days, he detests the idea of a face matchup. And because once again, it's a case of Rollins, the way that he was playing things was exasperating Reigns to the point where Rollins would normally be the heel in this circumstance, but you don't want to take a chance on totally ruining the moment and the momentum you've got with Reigns being in this persona. So it's like, I'm still trying to figure out who everybody's going to genuinely pull for when the entrances occur. Lesnar, Lashley, once again, I think this has the potential, because of the fact that you've got both gentlemen with strong MMA backgrounds, and of course the amateur credentials they bring, and of course the professionals that they have become inside the squared circle. I'm looking forward to the Lesnar-Lashley match, like I said, and I'll reiterate what I said a minute ago. I wish they'd have waited till Mania. I think there is a way that they continue to build that toward a possible Mania match. But by the same token, I hope they don't knock enough of the luster off at the Rumble for this match that they tarnish the possibility of what this could be. Because one of the things that I worry about with WWE right now is, can they, I mean, yes, they've shown they can do slow builds to a great degree. And the overall perspective that I have is, it is so easy for something to happen that would minimize the interest of a long-form program between these two. The one thing, I mean, if you've got the battle of the mouthpieces outside the ring with MVP and Heyman, oh, because MVP is understated, underrated, and sometimes overlooked in his role as the executive director for the Almighty. The man's gold on a microphone. And of course, I'm still trying to figure out how in the hell Paul Heyman has not won an Emmy yet. Seriously. There are two people in WWE that should have an Emmy sitting on their bookshelf right now by this time, at least one. One, Paul Heyman. Two, Randy Orton. because just when you think Orton's hit that ceiling and he cannot get any higher in the stratosphere, he does it again. So yeah,
let me jump in real quick before we go down the Randy Orton path. I want to go back to the Rumble thing. This is a question for both of you guys. In this day and time, WWE is in a different position than AEW. It's a different stratosphere. They're just different. Why even put Reigns or Lesnar on the Rumble? Now, hear me out. You're not relying on pay-per-views. Peacock is showing this thing. They paid you a crap ton of money.
Actually, it is still a pay-per-view.
Well, here's the thing. You're not relying on them, is what I'm saying. So you're not sitting back going, we got to sell 500,000 of them. We're not making, they just changed the entire, even the terminology of a pay-per-view. Then I'll call them
premium events.
Premium events, right? Because the reason why is because that's how they're selling Peacock. So, and the WWE network elsewhere, because they really don't even want you to buy a pay-per-view. They want you to buy the network because they're going to tie you in. They know they're going to tie you in. And I'm saying this from my perspective. I would have no issue with neither one of them being on there. The Royal Rumble sells the Royal Rumble. So I'm thinking in the back of my head, don't have either one of them on there. You don't need it because you're making so much money from everything else. And then you keep that patience and that slow build to Mania. Or, you know, and if they do come out, they come out at the end or, you know, whatever you want to do with them. But I just don't see the reason, the need to have them on everything. If you even jump back to old pay-per-views, you can go back to Hogan didn't defend on every pay-per-view. Like you can think about SummerSlam, sometimes he's in tag matches. You go to the Monday Night Wars, a lot of WCW pay-per-views, the world title was not defended. And, you know, but it's a different economic. So I just kind of get you guys' perspective. Would it bother you if neither one of them wrestled on the Royal Rumble pay-per-view?
Shane?
Not at all. It'd make me want to see them at WrestleMania even more. And to your point, the Royal Rumble, I think, is one of two pay-per-views or network events, premium events, that sells itself. I'm not so sure that Survivor Series and SummerSlam always do that, but I have faith in WrestleMania and the Royal Rumble. The name WrestleMania and then that match that is associated with the Royal Rumble that you're going to get every year to kick off WrestleMania season can sell itself. So, yeah, I mean, if they were left off and this match was given a 3-month build to WrestleMania, we're on to something.
I think that if both of them were left off, I think you'd have a percentage. I'd say 45% of the fans who would sit back and say, "Oh, Vince is back at it again. We're giving everybody their Lesnar treatment where he doesn't have to show up for every show and the title becomes non-existent." Royal Rumble in and of itself is one of the tentpole events, technically speaking. It's always been one of the big four ever since its inception. And you're right. The Rumble match itself, the men's Rumble, the women's Rumble, sells the pay-per-view because you're banking on the future. It's like the person going over is going to get that opportunity to pick their champion, pick their poison, which still has me slightly perplexed. So if you're going to have a title unification match at WrestleMania, does that mean that the potential winner of the Royal Rumble has a chance to follow up and take that singles title? Something that has not really been discussed at this point.
By the way, I think the Rumble also sells because, especially in these last 6-7 years, the hope of the surprise factor.
Yes.
Who's coming? Who's coming back? And not a lot of other shows throughout the calendar year have that attached to it.
Agreed. Which, let me throw this one out there. And for the record, I'm one of the ones that would actually like to see one of the two, if not both, championships defended. But if both of them were kept off and we continue the road to WrestleMania with the push for the Rumble match itself, I'd be fine with it. If they handled it properly, I'm fine with it. We all know what happened courtesy of calendar year 2020. You had the return of the Rated R Superstar, which evoked one of the biggest professional and emotional reactions from fans in particular. Not to mention people in the business that went, holy sh, they kept a secret. Holy bleep, they kept a secret. It wasn't all over the dirt sheets. At least if it was, I didn't see it because I don't read them. And then, of course, you had Edge going bell to bell last year in 2021. So realistically, in my humble opinion, the MVP of the Royal Rumble for 2 years running now has been Edge. Is there a way that WWE can top with anyone on the roster or someone who's not back yet the return of Edge? Shane?
I mean, at first thought, I mean, if you're going through usual suspects here, Steve Austin's not going to do it. Dwayne's not going to do it. You know, guys like Hogan, Flair, way out of here. I mean, so there is something, and I haven't read anything. This is just something I'm thinking in my own mind, and it's one particular reason. With this forbidden door being opened now, we all know about Mickie James, Impact, you know, Women's Wrestling Champion coming over for the Rumble. I just wonder, and this is just speculation, I would give it a puncher's chance at about 17 to 20% per se, that based off the good vibes of Chris Jericho doing the Steve Austin podcast last year after Mania, any chance we see Jericho as a surprise entrant in the Rumble this year? Because that, to your original question, even for just a one night, talk about a reaction.
What if it was Kenny Omega?
I don't think it holds the same. And only reason being, Jericho has that history with the WWE.
Can I chime in on that Kenny Omega statement?
Yeah.
Kenny Omega is a smaller star than 90% of the roster on WWE. When you go to a mainstream audience and you're going to a tentpole event, the Road to Royal Rumble, he walks out, you're going to have a segment of the audience who knows who he is. And more so now with the AEW stuff. But I would argue that you could take 70 to 80% of that roster and put them in front of a casual fan, and they'll know more of the WWE stars than Kenny Omega.
I can combat that with two letters and a word. AJ Styles. The reaction that AJ got when he made his debut at the Rumble was decibel level breaking.
Mm-hmm.
Can I counteract that?
Yes.
There's a reason. AJ was on TNA when they actually had a following on their pay-per-views or on their TV shows, as well as New Japan. Now, I'm not saying Omega hadn't been to New Japan and AEW, but I agree with Greg's point. AJ Styles was being looked at that time 15 years of, you know, the groundswell. Because, and this is just in my own personal neck of the woods, people who don't watch anything but WWE would ask me about this Styles guy, this AJ Styles guy. I heard somebody talking about AJ Styles guy. I'm going to tell you, I don't get that about Kenny Omega with people that don't watch the WWE product.
Right. And one other thing about AJ, and I love AJ. I've known AJ long before TNA. Like, I know AJ. They weren't stupid about where that that Rumble was held either.
True.
Orlando, Florida, mm-hmm. Home of TNA, who, to Shane's point, what, they had close to 2 million people watching every single week. They knew who he was. Kenny Omega has been a YouTube star.
Okay, who would get the bigger pop, Kenny Omega or Kota Ibushi? Greg?
Oh, Omega.
Shane?
I mean, Omega, but come on, it started out with a comparison of Jericho and Styles.
Well, I mean, if we're sticking with New Japan, let's go ahead and shoot that one. I mean, I could have turned and said Okada, but I actually...
I mean, if you want if you want the holy crap moment, and I realize what limitations we're using here on this program, but you all know what I mean, Cody Rhodes appears in the Rumble. That, I think, even tops Jericho. Not that Jericho doesn't have the two-decade history with WWE, but for the this feels like a, oh, no, this shouldn't be happening kind of deal, because Cody's the one who left on his terms and spearheaded this whole all-in, which led to AEW, and he's back. Yeah.
I would be quite okay if Jericho made a reasonable appearance. You know, would it be Bushwhacker-esque? I don't think he'd go for it. I think Vince would sit back and say, hey, let's have a little fun with it.
I mean, based on his previous record, if Jericho's in the Rumble, he's one of the final six.
Probably. So. I'll say final eight. I mean, to me, humble opinion, the 2020 Royal Rumble was probably one of the better stories told with everything going on, like the tale of two Rumbles, Lesnar owning the first half, McIntyre owning the second, the subtle storyline kickoff between Edge and Orton, as well as some of the other stuff that was going on, including the complete hullabaloo with Seth, AOP, and Buddy Murphy, with Samoa Joe. Do I think Joe would come back for the Rumble? I don't think so. Would he take the payday? Yes, possibly, but that one still burns me to a great degree, and I'm not even going to get started on NXT Black and Gold versus NXT Tie-Dye. We'll be here for another 3 hours if I get started on that. But I tell you what we are going to do. Let's go ahead and take one more quick one. Folks, once again, on the pre-recorded side, we'll catch back up in one click for right now. So I will say, hang tight. We shall return. This is Beyond Ringside Live on the Beyond Ringside Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. This is Casey Carlisle, and you are locked in to Beyond Ringside.
This is Merciless Ray Mercer, Olympic gold medalist and board member of Find a Dream, and you're locked in to Beyond Ringside.
This is Ace Haven from Pro South Wrestling, and you're locked in to Beyond Ringside.
Hi, this is April Hunter from AprilHunter.com, and you're locked in to Beyond Ringside.
Hello, everybody. This is Dirty Dutch Mantel, and you're locked in to Beyond Ringside.
I have missed those music beds. And that's about as straight a shoot as you're going to get from me. Welcome back into Beyond Ringside Live, Sunday night, 16th day of January, calendar year 2022. Hot dog got the year right. Two out of three segments. I didn't do it during the previous one. Sorry about that, kids. Fast Eddie Lane over here. Shane Knowles, welcome back.
Over there.
Greg T, welcome back.
I appreciate it. I'm ready to roll, man. Let's get this going.
Okie dokie. Tell you what, longtime listeners, especially back on Thursday nights when it was the Shooter's Gallery edition, you know that we had a tried and true little thing that we would do every once in a while just for sheer fun, because in our midst, of course, is the trivia master himself, Shane Knowles. Here's the way we're going to play this little game. You will hear the music bed pop up in just a second. I will try not to make it too obnoxious because I'm working with a different sound setup than I do at Studio One. Shane will ask the question twice. First time ask, dramatic pause for effect, ask it a second time. Greg and I are on the honor system to not go look up the answers because this is all in good old-fashioned fun. So, let me see. Where's Q1? There it is. Let's see if I can get the volume level right the first time and say to our trivia master, the king of, as the business name is called, useless trivia, Shane Knowles, the floor is yours.
As always, these are a scattering of questions that you'll find available at Useless Trivia Live Games. This is from this past Wednesday and Thursday. We'll start off with a question, Eddie Murphy, your category. Which film starring Eddie Murphy is based on the 1886 novel Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? Starring Eddie Murphy, which film is based on the 1886 novel Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
New kid on the block, Greg. You won't take that. You won't take a crack at it.
No idea. I'm just gonna shoot in the dark and go trading places.
Not a bad guess. Incorrect, however.
I'm gonna go with the remake of The Nutty Professor.
That is correct. The Nutty Professor.
Originally done by
The good side and the bad side.
Mm-hmm. Originally done by Jerry Lewis. Technically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Trivia question. Who was really responsible for the breakup of Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, Shane?
Greg Bishop.
Is that a little bit before your time?
Joey Bishop.
There you go.
Sorry.
The affiliate member of the Rat Pack. Care to take a shot at that one, Greg?
You know, I've seen that before. Was it Sammy? Sammy Davis Jr.?
Actually, logistically...
Sinatra.
And go figure, it was Sinatra who actually got the two of them talking again in public at the Jerry Lewis Telethon back in, I believe, 76. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I remember, I think I was 10 years old when that occurred. However... shut up. Shane, question number two.
Well, let's go to a pro wrestling question here. Probably easy for you two gentlemen. Was a little tough on our useless trivia crowd this week. Which Hall of Fame pro wrestler used entrance music that was the identical tune that you would hear at high school and college graduation ceremonies?
Oh. Can I just jump in? Or are we all allowed to do that?
Sure. Go for it.
I'm going to hit the buzzer like I'm on Family Feud, but that's Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yes, sir.
And I can tell you a little trivia about that. So when I had to do my high school graduation, I told my mom, I'm putting my finger up in the air and spinning it like Macho Man. She said, don't do that. I said, I am. And I did. So as I had to walk through the aisle, when they were playing that song, I put my hand up in the air, turned my hand just like he used to do, grabbed the front of my quote unquote trunks, looked at my mom, and she just shook her head and started laughing.
Well, Greg, we have similar stories. When my name was called, I didn't just walk to approach the principal to get the diploma. I did the Ric Flair strut, turned and looked at the house, and gave a loud verbal woo before accepting.
I'm also in that boat, except mine was brought in from the realm of tennis, as I dropped to my knees and held it above my head, much in the same way Bjorn Borg did the Wimbledon's men's championship.
Oh, I thought to stick with wrestling, you were going to say you pranced to get that diploma like Gorgeous George.
Not even close. Nope. Although, I was very tempted to do a nice little side-to-side shuffle that was called the Smurf at that time. But I decided, nope. I think some people called it the Smurf. Some called it the Cabbage Patch. It's kind of like the line by Burt Reynolds in Smokey the Bandit 1. A lot of it just depends on from what part of the country you come from, just as to how dumb you really are. Or smart you really are, depending on the concept. Shane, question number three.
Let's go with music milestones.
Uh-oh.
We are looking at the list of Rolling Stone's 500 greatest songs of all time. What is the only song on the list that is not sang in the English language? The only non-English speaking or singing song that would be on Rolling Stone's top 500 tunes of all time.
Eddie, 99 Luftballons.
Go for it. Oh, that German tune is incorrect.
Greg?
I have no earthly idea. Because 99 Luftballons was technically saying it's 99 Red Balloons in English. So... La Bamba.
Correct, by the late, great Ritchie Valens.
Nice!
Bam!
La Bamba.
One more, just for fun, even though that'll possibly leave us in a tie.
Okay. World records. Daredevil Evil Knievel once earned a Guinness World Record for doing what? 433 times.
I got this one. You mind if I just jump in?
Go for it.
Go for it.
I have an idea too. But...
Breaking Bones.
That is correct.
Yeah. Some more than once.
I'll tell you what. Let me sneak one more in here.
Okay, we'll have the tiebreaker.
Technology question. What television show is the inspiration for the text message service known as thismessagewillselfdestruct.com?
Eddie.
Okay.
I know the answer. I will put it in the text message to you, but Greg, do you want to take that one? Because I actually do know the answer.
I had no earthly idea.
As originally...
Repeat the question one time.
Okay.
What television show is the inspiration for the text message service known as thismessagewillselfdestruct.com?
I don't know.
A show that originally starred Peter Graves, Barbara Bain, Martin Landau, Greg Morris, Mission Impossible.
That is correct, and I had two teams that gave me Inspector Gadget because Inspector Gadget played off of Mission Impossible with that this message will self-destruct.
Yep. And of course, if you were apprehended or caught, the secretary will disavow any knowledge of your actions. Good luck. Yeah, I love that piece of music too. See, therein lies the funny part, because a lot of people don't remember the factor of that being a television show. A lot of them just remember Tom Cruise movies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. There were some other major stars that came out of that, but the big four were Peter Graves, Barbara Bain, Martin Landau, and Greg Morris. I remember that very well. Still remember the show open with a little slow-moving fuse going across the screen. Screen. Well, folks, tell you what. By the way, as of course, you're going to find out some of the places that Shane hosts in just a minute as we get closer to the wrap-up for everything. Matter of fact, I know that with us being in a slightly different realm right now, we were originally planning to go 90 minutes, three segments, but once again, due to extenuating circumstances, we're actually having to do this in a different capacity than I'm used to. That's why our timelines for segments have been a little bit off. So, for those who live in the Birmingham, Alabama area, I'll go ahead and let you know now. Matter of fact, we're going to go and move into Last Call, Shameless Plugs. Greg, this will be your first time on Last Call. It's basically if there is a particular topic that you want to throw out there to wrap things up or a final statement or something of that ilk, it's always open floor in that particular regard especially. And then, of course, Shameless Plugs. How can people find you? And, of course, if you've got upcoming appearances, feel free, throw them out. Lay them out there. Let everybody know. So, I'm going to go ahead and take this one out from under, because originally tonight, once again, January the 16th, I was supposed to be set up live to go at the Beer Hog up in Pelham, Alabama. Due to extenuating circumstances, number one being the factor that the area that I was going to be in, they actually had rented out for a private party, which the first words out of my mouth, hey, take the money. Legit, take the money. We were supposed to do it last Sunday, but at 2 o'clock that afternoon, I had a gig drop in my lap for a birthday party, i.e. birthday and karaoke party, which I have to pay the bills. So that's one of those rare circumstances where it's like in advance wasn't an option, because I got the call from a colleague of mine, and the second I got that call, I relayed the message to Shane and to Greg. So that's going to be a case of the 23rd, if things hold true, the base of operations next Sunday will be the Beer Hog on Pelham Parkway. 64 craft beers, and I've tried 5 of them. I have not yet hit the all-you-can-drink buffet. But the other factor for tonight was it's still raining in central Alabama, and when I pulled up to the Beer Hog this evening, the ambient temperature was still 39, 38. As I got ready to come back down one county to the south, the temperature had already dropped to 36 and 35. I couldn't the factor that I would love to be able to do the show on location had to be superseded by the fact that there would be possible icing on the roads, especially overpasses, which I'll cross seven of them getting here, or go over or under seven of them getting here, and I couldn't take that risk. That's one of the reasons why we shifted locations tonight. But if everything works out and everything's back in play, if you're in the Birmingham, Alabama area, drop by next Sunday. We'll go live at 7 p.m. Central, 8 Eastern, and the base of operations will be the Beer Hog on Pelham Parkway. Drop by, say hi. Love to see you. To take us over into last call and shameless plugs, Shane Knowles, you know the way it's done. It's on you, brother.
Well, good to be back in the saddle here on Beyond Ringside, the Shooter's Gallery. Useless Trivia will be back in the saddle this Wednesday, 6:30 Central Time, at Lagatha's House of Axe Vintage Arcade, Gadsden, Alabama. Then the following evening, Thursday, we will be at Back 40 Brewing Company. A lot of good brews on tap. They do not have an all-you-can-drink buffet, but you can make one out of it. I'm here to tell you right now as you join us to eat, think, and drink for trivia. And then Friday, 627 Southern Avenue is the location in Piedmont, Alabama. I will be back behind the mic for Pro South Wrestling. As far as last call, I'm going to go something a little different here because this is, I'm going to bore you guys to tears with it. But, the Australian Open of tennis has currently kicked off at 7 o'clock Eastern this evening. Absent from the field is 9-time champion Novak Djokovic. Who not only was looking to get a 10th championship down under, but to break the three-way all-time tie for Grand Slams that he currently shares at 20 with Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer. And I'll make this brief, but a week and a half ago when he attempted to arrive in Melbourne, Australia, because he is an unvaccinated player, he was detained, his visa was taken. He was basically held in a holding room with security guards until this was sorted out. The visa was given back. Then the Prime Minister of Australia repelled it again, revoked it. And Djokovic was sent home yesterday evening and told to pay all the court costs as well. And I'm curious about this because if a visa is taken in Australia, that is a three-year ban from the country. So not only is he not getting to play in his favorite Grand Slam with a chance to break that all-time tie, I would have loved to see him and Nadal go at it again down under. But if this holds up, he's not going to be there the next 2 years either. For a guy who turns 35 this year, time is ticking.
I'm going to shut up. Because for me, the logical answer would have been very simple. Let Djokovic stay in isolation for 5 days. If he tests negative for 2 days before that, let him compete. But I know that that is not going to be a particularly popular stance, especially the way Australia has been handling things down under. But like I said, there were intelligent methodologies in play that they could have used in order to actually pull this off and not look like the heavies. But I think that...
Correct.
But I just... Sometimes I have to go back to what my parents originally told me. If I can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Greg, you have thoughts on this one?
I mean... I'm kind of with you. So that's interesting, though. That's wow.
And that's the thing, too. I mean, this isn't a team sport. The only people who come with you are your coach, your trainer, perhaps your significant other. It's not like a big squad of football, baseball, hockey, basketball. I agree with Eddie. There, you know, even though he knew the terms and conditions at play, there's still an opportunity here to isolate said individual. And have the opportunity to play this tournament. And, you know, in the almost 2 years now, March will be our 2 year anniversary. We've seen a lot in pro wrestling. We've seen a lot in the entertainment world as well as sports. I never thought it would get to this.
Also, Shane, how can people find you on social media?
Don't. I'm just kidding. Shane Knowles on Facebook. That is Noles on Facebook, The Real Shane Knowles, on Twitter, Instagram. You can also get me directly, shaneknowles@gmail.com.
Greg, last call and shameless plugs.
Let's see, last call, I would just say, you know, as you go to watch whatever you decide to watch, enjoy it for what it is. I mean, I know I'm kind of in that pro wrestling bubble. I see so many comments about so many things. Enjoy what you like. Everything's not for everybody, and understand it's okay that you don't like everything else, and everybody else doesn't have to like what you like. I think that's kind of just my only words on that one. I mean, I'll have some better last calls as we go ahead, but I know I've had multiple discussions about, you know, AEW and Impact and WWE and everybody. It's like, can we all just get along? And it's, for whatever reason, wrestling fans are a different breed. Passionate, but a different breed.
You know, and I want to touch on what Greg said, too, because, like, in the realm of entertainment, I don't think, and I don't know Greg that well, but I would assume you don't listen to just one genre of music, whether it be rock, pop, rap. I mean, goodness, what do we got here? Dubstep, new wave, whatever you like. You listen to a variety. Same thing with movies. You may watch a comedy as well as a suspense thriller, a documentary, a horror, TV shows. I may love an old classic sitcom, and I may want to binge watch Breaking Bad. I just don't understand, and with sports, no one gets on you if you watch basketball along with baseball, but with wrestling, you got to pick a side, and I think there's always room at the table for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Except there is only one head of the table, let's just be clear, but beyond that, yes.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the music goes, trust me on that one, and it's not just because I'm a DJ. I mean, one minute I could listen to Skrillex, the next minute AC/DC, the next minute Migos, M-I-G-O-S. The next minute I could actually turn around and listen to Count Basie. So it's like, yeah, I mean, and a friend of mine put it very clear on social media that in not just the realm of professional wrestling, but in other various facets of life right now, there is a tribalism that is involved where if you don't believe as I believe, then you're wrong. Or if you don't believe as I believe, I'm just not going to talk to you. And it's like, that's totally anti-social media. We've lived for a long time on this rock, not always agreeing with each other. And it's those genuine, open, intelligent, articulate, linear debates and discussions that help us grow as individuals. And my only downside to that is when you run out of arguments and you just start calling names, then you've shown the world that you've got nothing left to stand on other than the factor of name calling. I've been right before. I've been wrong before. Don't believe me? Ask my ex. And she'll be very quick to tell you, right? Her. Okay. But legitimately speaking, that's the tribalism's got to stop. It's called professional wrestling, which means it's an umbrella we can all fit under if we choose to. Greg, shameless plugs?
Social media, Instagram, Twitter, same thing, @TheGregTroxell, T-R-O-X-E-L-L. Very active on Instagram. Not as active on Twitter, but yeah, you can always interact with me on those social media platforms.
I think I've sounded off about my colleagues' last calls to where I'm going to go ahead and leave mine in the check mark for now, and I'll go ahead and pick that one probably next week because there's a whole laundry list of things that I would actually love to be able to get a hold of right now as far as discussions, but my colleagues have lives, and I respect that. Trust me on that one. So I will simply go for shameless plugs. Monday nights, find me at the Beer Hog in Pelham, Pelham Parkway. I am your humble host for their Monday night karaoke show. Tuesday nights, find me at Steel Gastro Pub on 7th Avenue South in Birmingham in the Lakeview District. And on Thursday, January 27th, my birthday, and January 28th, that Friday night, I will be hosting at Mad Pie's Restaurant and Bar on Fulton, well, okay, you can call it Fultondale Parkway, call it Decatur Parkway. It's Highway 31 in Fultondale. It's actually Decatur Parkway, Highway 31, Fultondale. So once again, that's on the 27th and 28th, but every Monday night, Beer Hog Monday, Tuesday night, Steel Gastropub. And once again, through Full Range Entertainment, I have gotten coming up in the month of February, March, and April. I think I maybe have two Saturdays open for bookings at this point. So I'm getting things back in the realm all the way across the board. You can find the show in and of itself, beyondringside.com, prowrestlingradio.net. You can find us first and foremost through the Beyond Ringside Sports Radio channel on the TuneIn mobile app and TuneIn Radio. From there, other sources include Podomatic, P-O-D-O-M-A-T-I-C, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podbean. There's so many. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your shows, including iHeartRadio and archive.org for cataloged episodes from days gone by. Folks, for me personally, FastEddieLane.com is my home as well. Folks, thank you for hanging out with us. We hope you've enjoyed the ride. Episode 0, technically episode 1, which I don't even know what the podcast numbering system's up to. I think it's like 986. So, and we're also working on plans right now for the Royal Rumble in and of itself for that Saturday, January 29th. I'll have more information about what's going to happen on Rumble Saturday next Sunday, as once again, we're hoping to be fully live 7 p.m. Central, 8 Eastern, 5 on the West Coast. Folks, going to call it. Thank you again for joining us. Thanks for hanging out with us. Do it again soon. You betcha. Back and ready to have some fun. For Shane Knowles.
Whoa, Bundy.
For Greg Troxel.
Peace out, y'all.
I am the Magic City Motor Mouth, Fast Eddie Lane, saying, shall we do it the old school way? Yes, we shall. Adios, das vidania, hasta luego, auf wiedersehen, ciao, sayonara, adieu, arrivederci, farewell, abasinha, au revoir, until we meet again, aloha means bye-bye. Join us right here next time as we all go beyond ringside. Bye for now.